This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always streaming live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. My good friend Clint Yates, just looking down at the phone to confirm this, he's going to join us coming up at the 4:30 today, Anthony. And I'm not going to lie to you, Anthony. Like, we have plenty of Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn sound and all that kind of stuff to get to. This is a little off the board, and I want to talk about some of the trade deadline stuff a week away. Like, I have a lot of thoughts for today's show. I kind of want to start with the World Series game last night and the idiot fans. We didn't talk about this before the show, but as I sat down here, that's the force that compelled me. You're down for this?
Sure. I mean, I watched the game, so
barely even know what happened in the game because I'm just not a baseball guy. I wasn't watching the game. We'll talk to Clinton about the baseball coming up at 4:30. Like, I got caught up, but I wasn't watching it live. But I'm kind of perusing the internet last night, and I see the play with Mookie Betts. So there's a fly ball. Everyone's seen it by now. Fly ball down the baseline, foul territory. Mookie Betts, Dodgers outfielder, goes up to get it. And these two Yahoo fans for the Yankees, and they're big old Yankees fans with their Yankees gear on, and some of the comments afterwards are pretty remarkable. And they literally try to take the ball out of Mookie's glove. Not try to catch the ball. They grab dude's arm and try to, like, rip the ball out. And they get arrested and thrown out of the game. And good. And I would just like to start with that fact, Anthony. Do you know how much World Series tickets are in New York for a Dodgers-Yankees game?
They are insane, for one. And for two, I have two friends that went to Syracuse with me, and they took out of their wedding budget to go to one of those games. So, yes, I do know how expensive they are.
I'm going to see if I can find it. Let's see. This was game four World Series.
Yep.
2024.
And where they are, expensive because you're close to the wall.
Well, let me just see if I can. Let's see what game five tickets are right now on Vivid Seats, because that's the first thing that came up. The cheapest ticket, a general admission seat right now, is $491. Mm. Now these doofuses were on the first baseline, yeah?
Yes.
Let's see. Cheapest in section 111 right now in Yankee Stadium for game five. We'll even go 110. It's a little bit cheaper. Is $939, but that's row 27. Row five, we're talking $1,200.
Okay.
At least. And that's, like, considered a great one. There's more expensive tickets that are farther back. So these guys paid conservatively $1,000 a ticket to get thrown out of a baseball game for getting called for fan interference.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that bothers me, on top of the disrespect of the game, the self-importance, is the lack of remorse afterwards. Do you see their comments?
I didn't see them.
They were basically like, whatever we got to do to win. And it wasn't until today that they got banned for game five. They initially were going to be allowed back. These bleeping bleepers should be banned for life. What the hell is wrong with Major League Baseball? The NBA has banned fans for life for yelling at dudes. And there was some reports of, like, they were yelling racial slurs and all kinds of good stuff. I don't know if those ever got verified, but, like, fans in the area said they were yelling horrible stuff at officers. And, like, I don't know if that stuff is true, but it honestly doesn't matter. The stuff that I know is true is they have no respect for the game. It's part of baseball is, if I can catch the ball before it lands in your glove, okay. grabbing at Mookie Betts' arm. They are so lucky Mookie Betts is a cool-headed, calm dude. Because I tell you right now, if like I was the first baseman, there would maybe it's because I'm hangry. My lunch is right here. Maybe I'm just a little feisty in the moment as we start the show. But if I was the first baseman, it's my current headspace, tell you that much, there would have been a fight. I would have been crawling up into the stands if I just had a clear view of what happened. If I was Mookie Betts, that I'll probably just been like pointing to security being like, these dudes got to go. But we all have the video replays. We all have every angle of this. And we all have ears and we all have eyes that can read the quotes after as some of the reporters got to talk to these fools. And there is zero remorse. Zero. And if you show zero remorse for being the worst person in a baseball stadium, you don't get to come back to the baseball stadium. And if I was the Dodgers, I would be livid. I would be throwing an absolute fit. And that's from like Magic Johnson and the ownership levels down to in the clubhouse. Like I would say, if this isn't going to get fixed, I would say something that got a lot more attention on this. Because this is ridiculous. We can't have this. These are huge. Yes, they're athletes. Mookie Betts makes an obscene amount of money. Cool. Good for Mookie Betts. He's one of the best players in baseball. Yeah. If you buy a ticket, technically, you get to do all kinds of stuff. Do I think that it's reflective positively of people's characters who go to games to just yell horrible things at people? No. Do I think that one guy on Instagram that keeps popping up in my reels that yells funny things at baseball players is great? Yes. Have you seen that, Anthony? Has that come across your feed?
I haven't seen that one yet.
It might even be a Baltimore guy. But there's a heckler who, like, he comes up with really funny, creative stuff. Because, you know, in order for it, like, jokes aren't jokes if you just say a mean thing about someone. There's nothing funny in that. Clever creativity? Now we're talking. Then you can be even a little bit mean because it's clearly the funny is the point, not say something mean and then say I was joking as an excuse to be a jerk. But some people do that. Okay, fine. That more of a gray area. No racial slurs, no slurs of any kind. Like, let's stay away from dead parents. Like, common decency, pretty low bar. I'm not talking about common good. Literally common decency, low bar. But even then, fine. It's a gray area. You put your hands on someone, that's assault. That's crime. That, by definition, is what we're talking about here. And the fact that you can commit assault on a baseball player and then be invited back for game five until eventually they're like, not so much. And then you're just like banned for game five, not immediately for life. Major League Baseball should have had a statement. When did this incident happen? What inning? Do you remember?
Bottom of the first.
Okay, that's what I thought. By the top of the second, those fans should have been banned for life. What are we doing? I feel better having gotten that off my chest.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Watching the game, watching the game was one thing. And then for this to be the second fan interference moment of the series is just like, what's up with Yankees fans? And then I see all the guys on Instagram and Twitter, all the Yankees fans anyway, and they're just being as ruthless as, you know, Yankees fans. I think this is why a lot of people don't like Yankees fans.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, we're New York, we're not for everyone.
Yeah.
You know what you are? You're freaking losers who are on the sidelines and paid an absurd amount of money to get thrown out of a game. They are players. You are a fan. You belong in the stands. You don't touch, in general, don't touch other people. Especially do not touch baseball players playing baseball that you paid to watch, not to interact with. That's it. 98% of people are like, yes. Another 1% is like, why did you have to say that? And the other 1% is the problem. When we get back, we'll get back to the football. And then coming up at 4:30, Clinton Yates will join us. We'll talk to him about the baseball. He was there last night. We'll also get his takes on how he consumed the Hail Mary on Sunday. That's all still to come on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Here's how we're setting up the rest of the day. Clint Yates joins us. He's on his way to Yankee Stadium coming up in a few minutes. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about his impressions of the Hail Mary and kind of where he was for all that this weekend. We will be joined by Kevin Sheehan, our colleague, of course, who hosts 10 a.m. to 1 here on the Team 980 at 5 o'clock. Kevin is, of course, our resident Washington football historian. So in terms of the greatest plays that he's ever seen in franchise history, where does that Hail Mary play, and kind of what's his sense of where things are? If you don't get a chance to listen to Kevin during the day, we'll get you a little dose of Sheehan here in the afternoon. Competition Wednesday at 5:30, so we got a bunch of great stuff coming, and you hear a lot more from Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels coming up at 6 o'clock. But both guys talked today, obviously their first day back at work since Jaden completed that pass to Noah Brown, the Hail Mary, heard around the world. Literally, by the way, actually, Anthony, around the world. That was a turn of phrase I just used, but then I remembered. I was talking to my wife earlier, who has a colleague of hers. She works at like a global company, a global law firm. Colleague of hers that works in Britain that wanted to become an American football fan. His favorite colleagues at work are the DC folks. So he decided he was going to become a Commanders fan. And this is very recent. And she's just kind of like, you don't realize how blessed you are because you missed all the bad stuff. But he was watching the BBC the other day. And he was basically like, we never get any American football in the BBC telecast in the sports section, except for the Super Bowl. It's once a year. But they played the Hail Mary.
That's actually insane.
So hello to the BBC. If you'd like a foreign correspondent here on the Washington Commanders, and now I've gone into Australian and ruined it all. Kind of got a little dip there. Just hello to the BBC. Give me a call. I'm happy to do work for the BBC. Report on Hail Marys and miracles and whatever else this team does over the next bunch of weeks.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm offering my shirts. I really like London. I just want an excuse to go back. I have to go meet my bosses now. Goodbye. Toodaloo. All right. Back to Jaden Daniels, who was back to work today. Shut up, Anthony. Back to work today for Jaden Daniels, which meant, amongst other things, answering questions from the collected American press out there in Ashburn. And obviously, we almost forget that he was hurt going into that game. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, he almost didn't play. So how did his body feel coming out of the game, and especially as he's had a couple days to process here?
I'm still intact. I feel good. It's taking it day by day.
Shocking that he would be taking it day by day. But what, outside of just the recovery element, what have these last 24, 48 hours been like after that play to end it?
I mean, it was pretty normal for me in my life, as far as my standpoint. Maybe throughout social media, other stuff, that's kind of different. But just how I went about it the next day and yesterday, you know, it was kind of just in the past. I was on to the new week, so that's how I took that approach.
Yeah, I mean, his ability to just flatline, stay in the moment. I mean, even in the aftermath, I was actually, my wife obviously was watching on TV, Anthony, and we were at the game, and Rachel texted me, and she just goes, he's so calm in the post game. And at this point, we've all seen him mic'd up. They released that today, or maybe I would say a lot of us have. Just first thing in my social media feed this morning is the NFL films of Jaden, you know, running around a little bit. I'm like that.
Yes, sir.
And then he daps up Caleb, says good game. And then he's just kind of, that was it. I guess he turned up a little bit more going back into the locker room because he was kind of jumping up and down, like taking it in with the fans, all that kind of stuff. But In the moments where he's talking about it, whether it's the interview with Tracy Wolfson on CBS, whether it is in the postgame presser with us, like, he's just so calm. But it's not like he doesn't have perspective, which is what I appreciate about this answer when he's asked about kind of the larger picture and what that play and this season has meant to this area.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you could just feel that throughout the stadium, you know. What kind of shook me was when we were in Arizona and how much Washington fans traveled out there. So it's awesome to see just how everybody is happy, you know, that we're out there playing football. You know, we're out there competing, playing hard, and ultimately getting some wins. And, you know, we need to continue to have that support and that fan base, and I know they'll show up and show out.
And they have, and they continue to do that, and they will, and I think that's what's going to be fun. The Steelers game is going to be interesting from a crowd standpoint because Steelers fans bought tickets in May when the schedule came out. That's a different kind of fan base that is prepared for that moment, and then the moment will come, and there's only so many tickets that are going to be for sale for Commanders fans to scoop up, but it should still be a really good home crowd. The rest of the season, obviously, you're going to have Philly. People have bought tickets, and that's an easy trip. But I still think it's going to be way more Washington, you know, in even those division games where Cowboys fans and Eagles fans have consistently been in Landover. Like, those are going to be pro-Washington crowds, especially, like, that Cowboys game if the Cowboys continue to stink. Like, there's going to be Cowboys fans that bought tickets in May that are looking to sell, and Washington fans are going to be the ones buying them. And that's kind of how the ticket market works now is – you know, people might have bought them thinking one thing, but everything goes to the secondary market. And right now, who wants to go to Washington games? Washington fans. And so it's going to be a good, I think, home crowd at FedEx Field, or at, Northwest Stadium, for the rest of the year. As for how Jaden plans to continue to handle this, because it's not like he played and he's done with that rib injury. How's it feeling now, and will there be a time, or how long is the time until he probably doesn't have to deal with it this season?
I wish I knew. I wish I could answer that question for you. It's just how I feel daily, how I wake up and how I'm able to move around. And, you know, the organization here has a great plan, so I'm trusting that and following it.
And in terms of what that plan is, it's my understanding that it is a lot more about performance than it is pain. Now, if he was like, hey, guys, I don't feel good, they're not going to be like, well, suck it up, dude. No, they're going to be like, hey, we're going to take care of you. But is this a pain tolerance thing, or is this a performance thing? From what everything I understand, performance, but Jaden was asked directly today.
I mean, pain tolerance is always a big thing. So I would say, yeah, that's pretty much what it came down to.
So can you throw it? Like, basically, it's both, right? It's like, if I throw this football, how much is it going to hurt? And am I okay with that? So it's a function of when you do the thing, can you do it? And the amount of pain that it causes you, are you willing to tolerate it? So it's not just a like, hey, this hurts, or like, I'm getting hit and it hurts. It's, can I actually do the job? Because also pain is a signal from your body to stop. And so if you're throwing and you're in pain, you might stop short. And so part of it's like mental tolerance to override that. But part of it is, will your body actually let you? And that's kind of, I think, what he's been dealing with and will continue to deal with for probably the next couple of weeks, as long as he doesn't re-injure it, which, Lord willing, he won't, because I don't think if there was a huge re-injury risk that they would actually be letting him go through with this. Coming up in a little bit more, or coming up a little bit later at 6 o'clock, you'll hear a lot more from Daniels. Answered 20 plus questions today. So we will continue to hear from him on everything from his relationship with the rest of the rookie class and how they're playing this year. As obviously he's about to play Malik Nabers, his buddy, for a second time. They just played Caleb. We have some more from Jaden on some of the specifics of his performance and how he's been able to do certain things. And then a lot from Dan Quinn as well in terms of injury updates. Brandon Coleman, I'll go ahead and tell you now, Brandon Coleman practiced today. Jaden practiced today. Cornelius Lucas did not. But you'll hear more detail on that from Quinn, as well as the other top storylines in our pick six at 6. Also, don't forget, Kevin Sheehan is going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll get back into the Hail Mary's place in history. Anthony, have we decided on a name, at least that we're going to use for this show?
For the Hail Mary?
Yeah, is it the Hail Jaden? Is it the Hail Noah? Is it the Maryland Miracle? That one's been used before for other stuff. That's Terps adjacent. The
Hail Jaden from the Book of Noah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. We can go biblical on it. Okay. No one will get offended. So that's the Hail Jaden. I do love that it's like hail, when that's like their whole thing, right? And obviously it has been for a long time, but their hashtag now, raise hail, hail to the team, has been there forever. So you got that, which is fun. But anyway, Sheehan's going to join us to help put it in historical perspective. Clint Yates has some good historical perspective as well. We'll talk to him about that, and he's on his way to Yankee Stadium right now, so we'll talk about the World Series as well. Next, it's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And it is our pleasure to welcome in, as we do basically each and every Wednesday, except for when, you know, we have like insane amounts of things that we have to do that cost us a week of Clint Yates, for which we sincerely apologize. We welcome in our pal Clint Yates. Yates, live from Yankee Stadium or on the way to Yankee Stadium. What up?
There's no need for apology, Gregory, all right? This is the business that we chose. You know, what is this on the corner? I was just to say, Dalmatians in the firehouse, et cetera, et cetera. It's fine. Things happen. I'm currently standing outside of Gate 4
okay. In
the Bronx. I'm looking at a lot of dudes in half zips on their cell phones, trying to get their ticket situation straight, and a lot of Yankees fans wearing those goofy jerseys with nameplates on the back, even though the Yankees don't wear nameplates in real life. That's another story. How are you?
I am good. I started the show with the World Series today, which is not something that I thought I would do,
wow.
Especially because I basically didn't watch the game. But you can imagine what did come across my social media timeline, Clinton, and that is the incident in the bottom of the first inning last night with the fans who grabbed Mookie Betts. They get thrown out. Why did it take until today for them to get banned for Game 5, and why weren't they banned for life by the top of the third?
Two words, Yankee Stadium. I mean, the bottom line is, and I don't want to get too far into this because, you know, it gets to kind of a weird discussion, but you and I, and I'm sure a lot of your listening audience, looks at that. That's a problem. That's arguably, you know, felonious to a misdemeanor, and we're just not going to have it. If it happens once, you got to go. This is Yankee Stadium. One of the most famous clips in the history of this ballpark is Reggie Jackson himself, former Yankee, decking a Yankee fan on the field after they rushed the field after a win. Never mind the Jeffrey Mayers of the world. And so I think there's a certain level of, like, Yankee Stadium finds this okay. And that's a little weird. Don't get me wrong. Now, I will say this as well. Mookie was obviously very classy about it, but I was shocked. I've never seen that at a big league ballpark. And let's just say that there are other right fielders and outfielders in the major leagues that would not have handled it with the level of diplomacy that Marcus Lynn Betts did. Tommy Pham is one of them, just to come to mind, that probably would have dragged those dudes out and given them the business, which they deserved, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess the question I would just have is like a functional follow-up to that, Clinton, is like, where's Major League Baseball on this? Like, why is it the Yankees' decision? Because if I'm Manfred and I'm the commissioner's office, I'm like, no, that's not your call. They did this at a World Series game. They're not allowed back in a Major League Baseball stadium. I don't care if you own it.
Well, it's for the same reason that, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys get to do whatever they want in the NFL without much retribution. I mean, that's a whole other discussion. But I think the Yankees just simply thought, hey, this is part of what we bring to the stadium. Now, listen, it looks much worse because the injury risk, second guy coming in, there's a lot of chalk talk about it. But I think Major League Baseball basically was like, look, we're deferring to the team because that's just what we do. And, like, if I'm being honest, yes, was the risk super high? Was it a terrible play? Yeah, but I'm not sure that happens again in the same context. And honestly, I think there's a certain part of the major leagues that, you know, doesn't have a problem with this being kind of the reputation of this park in the BX, man. It's the Yankees. People get after it, and that's really what they're all about. Not that it's necessarily for me, but it's certainly not anything new in terms of my life.
Yeah, I hear you. I just, when they offer absolutely no remorse afterwards, and like, yeah, we would do it again. We got to do what we got to do to win. It's like, there's no we here, you clowns. Like, you're fans. You don't play. Sit over there. You're not allowed back. But
you're right. Don't love that. Don't love that. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, again, what do you want me to say? This is part of the experience when you're dealing with the Pinstripers. And, you know, I'm not going to get all into it, but we know what events have been in this town this week already, Gregory. You know what I'm saying? Civility is not exactly at a premium.
No, that is not New York's specialty. That is for sure. All right. Back here and on the home front. Clinton, did you see what happened here this weekend? Did you see
that? I heard there was something that went down.
Yeah, long pass, the end of the game. Where did you take in the Hail Jaden, Hail Noah, whatever we want to call it?
Okay, so I was on a plane because Sunday was the travel day between the games. So I was in an airport / on a plane. It was one of those deals where all of a sudden – my phone, I mean, the number of text messages I got, Gregory, was off the charts. Family members, middle school classmates, little league teammates who I hadn't heard from in literal decades were hitting me up asking me the exact same question. And I was like, I saw it, but I was obviously not there and I wasn't in town. That being said, here's the thing about that moment, that it doesn't necessarily matter how it ranks against other moments in Burgundy and Gold history. What it matters is how it ranks among those who are still in the, let's just say, the planting phase of who they are. Like, the kids of...
You were going to say germination, weren't you?
I was going to say germination, but I didn't want to get that far into, you know,
biology
and all that. Yes. What I'm saying is that the kids of the Snyder generation, it matters where it stands with them, not where it stands versus everybody else, because you have to have that spark moment in which you remember. I remember my spark moment. I was at the seat cushion game. That dude, Jerry Glanville, held up that helmet before the game, and they come out and blitz the Falcons in the playoffs on their way to the Super Bowl. Brett Favre's first game. Sidebar, I was at that game. Like, those are the moments that matter to young fans. I know there's a lot of sort of retribution elements to a lot of the fan base now, but you're going to see what you're going to see. You've seen what you're going to see. To a young fan who, for whatever reason, still wants to believe because their dad is from Sterling or wherever, you know, it just wants this to be a thing, that's the moment that matters, and that's why it was so cool. Football aside.
No, I think that's a great point, that it is the kind of moment that will spark a generation of fans that fall in love with Jaden Daniels and will continue to support this team for a long time. Right. I think the other side of that coin, though, is, though, like, there's a lot of fans that have been kind of waiting, their toes maybe been in the water, and I feel like there was a bit of a Band-Aid ripoff this weekend where it's just like, I got to believe now because that happened. And that, to me, was what was also interesting about it, is fans that have been fans since the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, that have been kind of out for the Snyder era, like, this was a moment that broke through in a way that I think took away some of the fight. Like, there's still some out there, but a lot of people's final reservations about coming back.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. You know what I mean? The runway is clear, if you will. For me personally, as a person that's sort of divorced from this, and not in any sort of non-amicable way, it's kind of felt like, you know, your baby mama had some new kids. You're rooting for those kids. You're not going to be a problem. You're not going to get in the way. You're going to support when you can, and that's just how this goes. That's totally fine. There is a definite different demographic of people now that exists versus before. The diehards are always going to be there. The people that definitely want them to win all the time are going to be there. But you're right. That toe in, toe back, people are like, oh, that was cool. You know what I mean? You might sell a couple extra jerseys. I saw a couple tweets about guys who came into the stadium, walked out with the Jaden jersey on, that kind of stuff. You're going to get a lot of that. The homecoming, if you will, is finally real, especially when you fold in things like Daryl Green, 2-8 getting honored, normal things that happen with franchises that respect themselves and their fans beyond, you know, the greed of the owner. These kinds of normal things are going to build in smaller moments. And that Hail Mary added a big one onto another one. It was pretty cool to see, man. I was very happy for a lot of people back home.
Anthony, you want to tell Clinton what shirt you walked in and out of the stadium in on Sunday?
So, Clinton, I had on a purple Omega Sci-Fi hoodie, and I walked out with a Jaden Daniels jersey on my back.
Wow, Q-Dog's in the building. Okay, that's my man. Good work. No, I totally understand that, though, Ant, because, like, listen, What else are you going to do that, Craig? What else? You just witnessed the greatest victory in the history of that field? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're copping something on the way out if for no other reason than remember that you were there. Mm-hmm. We were there, you know, and that was that. Good stuff.
Yeah, the best part is Anthony was in the press box. He took off his credential and then went downstairs to the team store.
Oh, God. Yo, yeah. Sidebar, that's funny because, dude, I'm at the World Series, and the World Series has grown to the point now where the amount of clown towns that are in and around the media scrum and these situations is so off the charts. I respect what you did, Anthony, but there's a line, Playboy. Don't cross.
I couldn't help myself.
I can see that.
I think what he did is on the safe side of the line. I will say, though, I was walking down from the press box, obviously not with Anthony. He had gone to the team store, which I didn't learn until Monday. But I was walking down with David Aldridge, and I was like, that's one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my whole sporting life, and it might be the coolest thing I ever see in my sporting life. And when David Aldridge looks at you and goes, yeah, me too, you know you witnessed something pretty special.
Yeah, the DA has seen it all, and I think on some level, too. Like, if that happens in Chicago, it's a different story. Almost to some degree, if that happens against a different team, it's a different story. A positive memory in that building is so few and far between that on that level alone, it's remarkable. Never mind just what it was. 10 out of 10 experience, and you got to love the idea of Daniel M. Snyder somewhere on a super yacht in illegal international waters looking at that and launching his champagne off the side because he's so upset about the fact that everybody's having fun without him. And Tanya, too.
Yeah. Have fun on your boat, you loser. Exactly. That's Clinton Yates, everybody, with us from Yankee Stadium. Enjoy the game tonight. Do you think that you will be covering multiple more baseball games this season?
God, I hope not. And no, I don't.
All right.
I'm kidding.
No, you're not. You would like this World Series to be over and the Dodgers to win. And that's perfectly fine. Clinton Yates, you can follow his coverage tonight on Twitter, at Clinton Yates, and obviously read all his work at ESPN and Antscape. Clinton, always a pleasure, sir. Talk to you on text messages whenever we decide to and on the radio next Wednesday.
Always a pleasure. Never a chore. Talk to you later, kiddos.
All right. That is Clinton Yates, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. Anthony, what are we doing next?
We have, hold on, DQ Jaden.
Okay, we'll have a little bit from Dan Quinn before we get to Kevin Sheehan next here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And coming up at 5 o'clock, Kevin Sheehan joins us. So just over 10 minutes from right now, trying to put into context where the Hail Jaden is in the history of the Commanders franchise. Is that the best play in the last 30 years? Is that the best play that he's ever seen, period, given circumstances, 1 versus 2 pick? Jaden, you know, not even healthy going into the game. Like, obviously, there's a lot of playoff plays that are really important because they've got 3 Lombardi trophies. But we'll get that from Sheehan. And I also want to talk with Kevin about where this team goes next and specifically how aggressive they should be at the trade deadline, because I think there's a lot of meat on that bone. It is a very interesting topic because I think I can make legitimate, compelling cases for and against making moves. And so I want to talk that through with Kevin. He's a good person to talk about that stuff with. And so we will, coming up at 5 o'clock. Right now, though, Anthony, we were watching NFL Live in the break because that's what's on the TV up here. And you were like, dude, look at the screen. The last 4 weeks, right? Last 4 weeks was when the stat is?
Yes, sir.
The Commanders are third in the NFL in defensive efficiency. That is including games against the Bears, who had put up big points previously, the Panthers, who had started to turn things around, the Ravens, who are the Ravens, and then the Browns, who they're terrible. That's the game I keep forgetting about in there. I was like, yeah, there's another game. Right, yeah. The Browns. What a forgettable football game. An absolute thrashing of 34-13. With that said, though, like, Ravens, Browns are the Browns, Ravens, Panthers, and Bears, not the best offenses in the NFL outside of the Baltimore part of that equation, but the fact that they're third in the NFL in defensive efficiency, I think begs kind of the question of where are we on this defense? And I have been at the point since, I don't know, at least the Cleveland game, if not, frankly, the Arizona game. Arizona game was like a trial balloon because they didn't play great against Cincinnati, although they played better than the 33-point score in terms of down-in, down-out consistency. And I was like, against other teams, some of the big plays that Burrow and Chase created, I don't think are going to be problems. And I feel like they've been pretty consistent, frankly, since then. I mean, obviously, the Giants game, they played a lot better. And it really was only the Tampa game week one that was a mess. And so, do we trust this defense as is? Not to say that it can't be improved, obviously. But how much trust do we have in this defense as is to get them where they want to go? Which I'm going to say at this point is winning a playoff game or two. Maybe not Super Bowl aspirations. If we on the outside are being realistic, they absolutely should have them, because why else do you play? But is this defense good enough in this NFC to beat the other teams that they're going to have to deal with come playoff time, if we say that they're going to continue to play football well enough that that's where they're headed? And with the 6-2 start, that certainly seems like the direction that they are.
Yeah, like going based off the stat alone, just being third in the NFL the last 4 weeks, and I was more so quick to, you know, dismiss the work that we have done. I think we should be doing this if we're going to compete against teams that are in the middle of the pack, or even, you know, a team like the Ravens that, to me, is, you know, top two, top three in the NFL. But it's more so, I guess, me having higher expectations if we are going to be, you know, sort of kind of a contender in the NFL. And that I think that's why I have so much, I guess, or I was just so quick to disregard what we've done against the Panthers or the Bears or the Browns, just because I want to see us have that same kind of impact when we go against, I guess a team like the Packers, maybe in the middle of the pack, or, you know, the Vikings, something along those lines, or even like the Dallas Cowboys. They got a lot of talent. Can we, you know, have that same kind of impact against a team like that?
Yeah, I mean,
I just got a lot of questions.
Yeah, I have questions. And there's some personnel strengths and weaknesses, let's say,
okay,
on this team, obviously. But I do think it's worth pointing out that, like, in the same way I'm going to talk about this with Kevin on the trade deadline, oh, they got to be better if they want to compete. They're 6-2 and second in the NFC. What more do you want?
Exactly.
And I am the ultimate, like, process guy, but at some point you have to go, hold on, let me take a step back here.
Uh-huh.
Hey, guys, I'm back here. I have a wider view.
Yeah.
I can see all of the trees. We're not losing any of them in the forest. The forest looks really good. Like, yeah. What more do you want? They're 6-2. And by the way, everything has been trending the right direction. I mean, this defense was horrible against the run earlier in the season. They're 12th in the league in EPA per play against the run. That's top half.
Yeah.
And EPA per play, and again, it's just one stat, and it's estimated points added per play. So you want a negative number. Obviously, you want to take points off the board by how your defense is doing. They are 18th, minus 0.04. Which is tied with the Eagles in the range of the Dolphins, which is actually kind of surprising. The Browns, the Colts, the 49ers, they're a little better than the Saints, the Giants, the Seahawks. And these margins are all pretty close. The Broncos are, like, way out ahead of everybody. They've been phenomenal. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, we're talking about a defense that has continually improved. Joe Witt, I think, has become a better play caller as the season's gone. So the guys have been more comfortable with the scheme. Guys like Jeremy Chinn have continually played better and better. Yeah, BSJ has his moments, but he's also had his really good moments. And look at the 4th-and-1 against DJ Moore. And, you know, down in, down out, you're not hearing a lot about him, which is exactly what you want outside of the Baltimore game, where obviously Zay got him a couple times. But Zay got everybody in that game. This is not a perfect defense. I don't even think this is a great defense. Couple of weeks, they've been a really good defense. But if their offense is going to be the best in the league, or one of the 5 best in the league, then if they can be the 18th best defense, they can win a lot of football games. And so it sets up the conversation of, what does Adam Peters do between now and next Tuesday when the trade deadline happens? By the way, the deadline itself is at 4:00. So we will have any late breaking news here on the Team 980 on the Hoffman Show. But I actually feel pretty solid about it. Like, not overconfident, not unrealistic, I feel pretty good. I think they're fine. And there's ways they can still get better as they implement some pieces that are coming back from a health standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Sheehan will join us. We'll talk to him about that and all the other things that we've been telling you we're going to talk to Kevin about next here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.